It is Saturday afternoon. It is the best time of the week, my favorite time to talk with my dear close personal friend, the one, the only, the lovely, the talented, Michelle Conti, Conti Law Firm. ContiLawPGH.com, 724-784-0239, 724-784-0239. Called that number myself this week. Talked to the staff here. Got myself the experience of calling the number we give out every week because I had to talk to Michelle. That's how I do it. 724-784-0239. That's how you do it as well, Michelle and her staff. The OG location, Conti Law, 7880 Steubenville Pike. That is in North Fayette. That is the original location. Also the Waynesburg location, 3157 Mount Morris Road in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania. That is Suite 104. Available 24/7 now for your internet needs. ContiLawPGH.com. Good afternoon, Michelle. How are we doing on this Saturday?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing all right. I got to call the number, 724-784-0239, because I needed to talk to you, and that's how you do it. And I got to experience the lovely staff you have there.
Yeah, you spoke with Allison. Yes. She's great.
She's really on point and a great gatekeeper as well. So all good there. So we are talking here on this Saturday, November 22nd, 2025. Which means a couple days away will be Thanksgiving. Are you ready? Are you ready personally? Are you ready professionally? Are you ready family-wise? Are you ready for Thanksgiving? By the way, happy Thanksgiving to you and your staff. I got to say that right now.
Same to you and yours and your family.
Yes.
The quick answer is no.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not.
Oh, no.
Host every year.
Here's the long
and
answer.
We host for a lot of people. And, yeah, I still... my husband went out and got the turkeys, but I still need to go out and get everything else.
Ah, yes, so, the fixins.
So that'll be my job this weekend.
All right.
But now I have to ask,
yes.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Let's see. I like it all. I like the mix of everything. I know it's a cop-out answer. Something I don't think is normally part of Thanksgivings, but it is in my household. I've always loved it. Dumplings. We've had dumplings as part of ours for a while. And I know that's a dish my mom makes very excellent. Shout out to my mother in that one. But I've always had that. I know it's not really part of the traditional OG like Thanksgiving setup per se, but it's part of ours, and I like it like that. I'm always a sucker for a good old piece, if not the entirety, of a pumpkin pie.
Oh, see, and I'm the opposite. I go for the carb overloading.
Ooh, all right.
I don't eat turkey.
Oh.
I don't eat desserts.
Oh.
But I feast on the mashed potatoes,
yes.
The vegetables,
yes.
And stuffing.
Stuffing
That's
all day.
That's all that'll be on my plate.
Stuffing all day. I'm a big turkey person. I try to, moderation, because, you know, tryptophan is a real thing. But, give me some protein, give me the carbs. Yeah, give me all that stuff. Because that's what this is about. Family feasting and football, right? That's what Thanksgiving is all about. And all the ancillary comforts and, again, family time, quality time, and that chance to just reconnect. And in some cases, as we talked about last week and the previous weeks, use that as a chance to have some of the discussions that may not be the easiest one. It may not be the best, the most in-pocket ones to have on a Thanksgiving holiday, but decisions that you base your firm around and your practice around, the family discussions, that kitchen table discussion. The kitchen table is going to be right there, front and center. Yes, it's got a bunch of fixings on it, but it's a pretty important central point for a lot of discussions that need to be had at some point along the line of a family dynamic.
That's right. Kitchen table, dining room table, folding table.
Oh, wow. There's options. Matter. There's multiple tables.
We have them all. We'll be utilizing all of those.
Kitty table.
All of them.
I don't know if
outside.
I don't know if,
we'll throw the kids outside.
If you want to have the discussion at the kitty table, they might be a little too young for that.
No.
Although you started yours off pretty young, right, in terms of when you had those discussions, relatively speaking.
I did. I have, as
part,
you know, 11-year-old twins, and
in part,
I always found it was important. It's never too early to have that discussion, especially we had, you know, some deaths early on when they were younger and they had to experience that, and they had to see everything that we went through to settle an estate, to manage, to, you know, just organize everything and get it in order. So perhaps I started a little bit younger than most.
Sure.
But my kids are well aware. You can have a conversation with them. They know that what happens when mom and dad die.
Sure.
They know when they get the money. They know who's in charge. They know who they're going to if they're not 18 yet.
Right.
So to me, that's important to have an open dialogue at any age.
Right.
Perhaps not that young, but, you know, certainly if you have adult children, you know, it's always a shame when the family calls me. They call the attorney to say or to ask, you know, basic funeral planning questions. Or to ask, you know, what assets does my mom have?
Sure.
Or who are the beneficiaries on these accounts? Or, you know, does she have anything? You know, I have clients whose kids don't even know if they have retirement, life insurance, don't know what they have.
Right.
And I know that you can go online and you can buy what's called a knock box or a dead box.
Sure.
Where you organize all of your important papers, which, again, I think that's a great idea. I didn't go that far. I just have a big binder, a big folder that literally says if I die on it.
That's what my parents have.
And that's me leaving my direction. Here are my accounts. Here are the important people you should contact. Here are my funeral wishes.
Sure.
So I think all of that in one way or another is important to pass that information along. If you don't feel comfortable doing it while you're alive, then I think that's second best, is to have everything already laid out and organized for your next of kin, for a loved one. It's hard enough. They're grieving, and now they're playing detective. So I
backed into the topic, but it did give me a chance to reflect on my own personal situation when it came to, as you said, your kids experienced death at an early age. And when I'm trying to think back to when my grandparents died, which my dad's an only child as well. I am. My mom had a brother that was not particularly close to him. I won't get that dynamic, but she handled all the next of kin stuff for that situation. And I lost my first grandparent when I was 12, and I lost my second one not too long after that. Third one was I was in college. Fourth one was just about maybe 10 years ago. I was in my late 30s. So I'd say probably of those four grandparents I've lost, three of them, I didn't really appreciate what my parents went through and everything on that end. For the fourth one, again, my late 30s, I was able to see what my dad went through as my dad's mother. And I didn't really appreciate, I knew they were going away. My mom's parents were in Florida, so I knew she'd make frequent trips to Florida. My dad was around here. I just saw my dad going, my grandpa, my dad's dad, was around here. So I saw them going back and forth, but I didn't really appreciate, and that was me being 12. That was me being, where it was, 14 or so. And then in college, I didn't really appreciate what they were going through then. So it is probably, I guess tonally, it has to be different, a different discussion, that kitchen table discussion with kids that are my age or even younger like your kids were, and an adult with that same discussion. I guess tonally, it's an important discussion to have, but you got to maybe approach it a little bit differently.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure, you know, what you experienced watching what your dad went through, it's a job.
Yeah, it is.
It's a multi-step, takes many, many months, if not longer.
Yes.
To go through that process and finalize somebody's life. You know, people complain all the time to me and say, why is this taking so long? And you have to think of it in terms of you're literally wrapping up someone's life.
It really is.
Whether they're 50 years old or 92 years old, it's a long time to get everything taken care of.
Right, absolutely. And it's a complex process where, therefore, you need somebody in your corner, like a Conti law firm, to be able to get that straightened out, because that's what you guys do. I'll have two cracks at it when I get a chance, but that's what you do on your everyday basis. 724-784-0239, again, ContiLawPGH.com. It's what you do, and I'm sure when people approach you with what you do, they probably have a lot of questions about what you do as well, stuff that, how many times when people reach out to you and your firm, are they doing it for the first time for their family? I mean, like I said, if you do two parents, you get, you know, maybe two crack at it. How many people have reached out to you with maybe some prior experience that they've gained elsewhere as opposed to somebody hitting you completely cold off the street?
I would say it's about 50-50.
Okay.
We have 50% of the newbies who've never experienced this and have heard horror stories,
walk-ins, right?
Right. Who have heard or want to prepare so there's something there for kids.
Yes.
Then we have the other half who come in who have recently lost a loved one and say, oh my goodness, I never want my family to go through this.
Okay, sure.
What can you do to make none of this happen?
Sure.
So I would say it's split down the middle, and the ones who come in who have experienced a loss and have had to administer an estate, serve in that role as executor, typically come in requesting a form of a trust because they know that the trust is going to be, typically, it's going to be quicker of a process, it's going to be less headache, because essentially when you're creating a trust ahead of time, so the trust lives with you during your lifetime, you already have everything titled appropriately. You already have all of that financial stuff organized and in order. So, you know, in a perfect world, all that happens is a couple phone calls and a couple emails with a death certificate and then forms.
Sure.
So I would say the camp split down the middle. And I don't hesitate. I share, depending on that individual's specific circumstances, you know, it's not a cookie cutter approach that we take.
Sure.
It's everybody has very specific situations that are going on in their life, whether it's the makeup of their finances or the makeup of their family. If somebody has, you know, an addiction or special needs that we have to focus on, you know, every situation is completely different.
Sure, sure.
So there's no one size fits all, with the exception, and I tell everybody this, and I know you've heard this a million times from me, you know, anybody who's over 18 needs powers of attorney. That's it, period. That's the end of that sentence. Everybody needs powers
right,
of attorney.
Right.
And then from there, it's really based on where they are in their lives. You know, do they have kids? Do we need to make any specific concessions for beneficiaries when they pass? So once we get above and beyond the powers of attorney, then it's based strictly on them.
Sure. So what other questions do people come to you with? I know you wanted to talk about some of the common questions that people reach out to you with when they call 724-784-0239 or when they visit contilawpgh.com. What sort of topics are on people's minds these days that you find that they're coming to you with? And maybe and some of the ones, you hit me with some examples before we started rolling here that I never thought of, and I don't think we ever even talked about on the show before.
Yeah, one of the most common and basic questions I'm asked is, what happens to my bank account when I die?
Yeah.
And the answer, as most of my answers begin with, it really depends. If there's nobody on there, not a joint owner, and it's your individual account, then we have to go through probate, and your executor will close that account and
sure.
use those funds to pay any final expenses, creditors, taxes, debts, all of that. You know, one of the biggest misconceptions is, you know, if I die and I have a house, or if I die and I have bank accounts, and
sure.
when it goes through probate, people just assume that whoever you've named as your beneficiary, they just get that money. They get the proceeds from the house, or they get whatever's left in that bank account. And I think they fail to understand and recognize that if you have debt, that will be paid. If you have a mortgage on the house, that's going to be paid when that house is sold.
Sure.
You know, it really makes me sit there and wonder, because it's not a dollar for dollar. You know, I die, my kid gets literally
right.
to split what's in my bank account.
Right.
That money is going to be used to satisfy any debt you have. And I've seen people, before they die, run up debt, run up credit cards, get a home equity line on their house, which is fine.
Sure.
But use these monies for things that they think that those debts or those creditors will never be repaid. And that can't be further from the truth.
No, that sounds very bad.
It is. And you know, we've seen it happen, of course.
It's a bucket list with a giant hole in the bucket.
A hard conversation to say yeah. to whoever is supposed to inherit, you know, we have to pay all this stuff off first, or at least attempt to negotiate it. And then whatever's left, once the bills are paid and the taxes are paid, then you'll get the money.
Sure. I've heard talk about this, and it's been years since I've heard talk, but still very interesting talk, and talk that's very relevant in 2025. And I didn't know if this was part of your purview or not. You and I have never talked about this. Do you guys handle digital death?
What are you referring to? What
in
does
terms
that
of,
mean?
In,
digital
in,
death?
In
you mean all the stuff we have online?
Yes. Social media, all the other things like that. I know it's part of the process of, as you said early on, as we started off with the show, with the idea of you're ending someone's life, you're wrapping up the affairs of someone's life. That counts now in 2025. Is that something that is handled by you? Or I know there are firms that specialize in that, like that's the only thing they do. Is that something that
right.
is part of your...
It's part of the purview of our representation, absolutely.
Sure.
So we'll walk the executor or the administrator through what that means, and
sure.
and getting in touch with various companies and providing them the, you know, they need the death certificate first and foremost,
right.
going through those steps. To say, you know, that's all we focus on, no, we're not one of those firms.
No,
but
yeah, I mean, it's
we
a niche.
Will,
it's
we
an absolute
will
niche.
Help
yeah.
the executors, you know, with social media, for instance, right. you can turn those accounts into a memorial page.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah, in the social media sites, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, help with that as well. They facilitate that too. It happens.
Correct. Now, most of my clients, I would say a majority of them are older and they don't have social media.
Right.
So we're not focused. I mean, but that's an option. We do ask that question. Most of the time, they'll tell me, no, they didn't have that. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to worry about it. But for the ones that do, we'll work with the executor to get that part of their lives wrapped up.
Sure.
You know, just like I always laugh, just like online shopping. I can tell you I contact QVC more often than most to cancel out the accounts.
Sure.
And
wow,
it's not just ladies. Everybody just assume it's the ladies.
Right.
But it's not. But I would say probably, you know, besides normal everyday credit cards, QVC is one of the most common that we are in touch with.
Really? Huh. I would never thought of that in terms of the beyond the credit cards. I know QVC is very popular. I actually have family out in the Philadelphia area that live across from their headquarters practically. But
I used to live out there. I lived in Exton for quite some time.
I've got family.
When I was in Philadelphia.
That's where the family is. That big old, I can't really call it a strip mall, that shopping center, that outdoor shopping center. It's a beautiful place.
I call it a compound.
That's a good place to put it. That's a good way
That's
to put it.
That's what we used to call it when we would drive by and go to work.
It's huge. But,
it is. It's incredible. I always wanted to be a QVC host, but I never applied. You've
been perfect for it. all good there. So interesting stuff with it. I never thought QVC was that high in terms of the priority. I know it's very popular, of course. I mean, Amazon, like, I think, is probably number one in terms of the things that are canceled in that regard. But
more and more so, absolutely.
Yeah.
Amazon, it's just so easy. You can just have everything shipped to your house. And so we do, I would say, I think I don't have the numbers, but I would agree with you. Amazon is probably the most popular.
Interesting stuff nonetheless. So other questions that have popped up. I'm sorry to hit you with that one, the digital death one, but that one kind of popped in my mind.
No, that's okay. I've never heard it called that, but I like it.
Yeah, whoever I heard talk about that referred to it as that. I always thought that was a very fascinating way to put it.
Absolutely. That is. I like it. Another really common question asked is, if I have a joint bank account, does that joint bank account get frozen, or will those funds be used when I die to pay my bills? And the answer to both is no. You appoint or you name a joint owner on an account, that account does not go through probate first and foremost, which means that creditors cannot lien that account and that money cannot be used to pay bills.
Sure.
Number two, so long as that joint owner is still alive, which is the point, then that money goes 100% to them.
Sure.
And I know we have siblings who will argue after the fact, after a parent has passed, thinking that the money that was in the joint bank account should be part of the estate and part of the will, the terms of the will, and that they should share a percentage in that joint account. And so I warn my clients, if you have an account or you want to make a joint account, do so knowingly that whoever that joint owner is gets to keep that money. And there's nothing legally requiring them to share.
Sure.
Just like we've seen it with a house. If I own a house and I add you on to my deed, Daryl, so long as that house is owned as joint tenants with rights of survivorship, when I die, that house is 100% yours. It doesn't go through my estate. It doesn't get shared between the other beneficiaries. So adding somebody to an account or an asset, it's really important for you to think about before you do that.
Absolutely, it is 100%. So,
and then I'll go into another one that I mentioned that it doesn't come up all the time. We don't specialize in foreign estate administration.
Okay.
But I do have clients who have property in another country or who have immigrated from another country.
Sure.
I had a lady recently, she owns multiple properties in South America.
Oh, wow.
And the question was, what happens when I die, what happens to these properties? And it just so happens to be in Colombia. And I can honestly say, I don't know. you know, we would have to work with an attorney in that country.
Sure.
Because their laws are different. I know I've settled estates in Italy, France, and England, and it's a process. Especially, you know, everybody just assumes the language barrier is what's the tough part, and
right.
that's not. We can always hire an interpreter.
Sure.
But their processes are so much different than ours, and they have different, you know, different procedures, but different assumptions. Where here we don't, right?
Sure.
I mean, if you don't have a will, Pennsylvania will tell us who inherits, and so we have to go off of that country's rules.
Wow. Okay.
And it, you know, people might not like it.
Yeah. So I mean, I was going to ask that question. What takes jurisdiction? What takes, as I got thinking, is the host country, you know, for lack of a better term, that of the property where the assets are, where everything is, that would take precedence in terms of the jurisdiction, in terms of what actually would happen legally to that property.
Correct. So, you know, in Italy, we had property and working. We had an attorney in Italy helping us. My client ended up becoming so frustrated, he went over there. It was his late wife.
Oh.
And it was between the banking system and the real estate. You know, Italy tells us what happens. And,
wow.
and in this case, they weren't very excited to follow my client's will, leaving everything to her husband,
sure.
although that is what ended up happening. But it was a battle. It's a process. So dealing with these things, and in the what made it worse is he didn't know those accounts. He knew the property existed. He didn't know the bank accounts existed.
Right.
So having that conversation, even with your spouse, but, you know, I always focus on the next generation. Who's
sure.
going to handle this? You know, it's really important to have an open dialogue.
Did you have did any of these interactions and dealings with clients with foreign interests require you to go over there and see firsthand for yourself, a working vacation, as it were?
I wish. No, no. I have never done that. I've offered.
of course. Twist
your
arm.
It's more cost effective to hire an attorney in country.
There you go. But all good there. Now, a couple questions as we wrap things up here. When people in general, stateside or international or whatever, when they come to you and with their situation and their issue or their case, for lack of a better term, how often is it do you find things, maybe discovery or maybe in just the snooping around, you find things that even the client themselves didn't even know they had for whatever reason. They forgot about long ago or it pops up on the surface and the client could tell you, I got the A, B, and C, but somewhere along
right.
the line and you're tracking down in your comprehensive due diligence for the case, you find D, E, and F somewhere.
It's not the assets that we find. Most of my clients are pretty well versed in what they have.
Sure.
They might not know who are the beneficiaries, but, you know, they'll know what real estate, what bank accounts, what investments
right.
they have. So I don't discover anything that's new there too often. What I do discover is we always offer a complimentary review of their current estate planning documents.
Sure.
And most often people have really old estate planning documents.
Okay.
So I always tell them the age of the document in some instances doesn't really matter. If you have a will that's 30 years old, it's okay. It may still be valid, you know, as long as what you want, the terms
right.
are sufficient. Our law hasn't changed that much.
Uh-huh.
But what I do find is errors, whether they don't recall what they asked the attorney to put in the document, or the attorney made an error. You know, we'll sit down and go through family dynamics, what their overall goals are, who they want to inherit, when they want them to inherit. And so I've seen it even just this past week where wow. I'm reading from their will what it says. And the wife's looking at me, and she's like, no, not at all. That's not at all what we want to happen.
And
I said, well, this is what it says.
Right.
I didn't draft it, so yeah. you can't get mad at me. But this is what it says, and if you don't change it, this is what will happen
And that's where your responsibility begins and ends, right? That's what the will says, correct?
I mean, correct.
They can tell you it's wrong.
They have to take it upon themselves
okay.
to either
okay.
go back to the original attorney
right.
or we update it.
Yeah, so all good there. A lot of great stuff on the table as we wrap things up here. This pre-Thanksgiving edition of the of Essentials of Estate Planning with Michelle Conti. Again, ContiLawPGH.com. 724-784-0239. Two fantastic locations. One, the OG location, 7880 Steubenville Pike in Oakdale, Pennsylvania. And the new location, Waynesburg, 3157 Mount Morris Road, Suite 104. That's the new location. And they both have the kitchen table, or whatever table you want to call it, the kidney table, the whichever one you're going to use for Thanksgiving. Have that conversation if the time and the vibe is right. Or make the time and the vibe right, because it's a very important conversation to have. That conversation before you talk to Michelle Conte. Although you actually will help, as we wrap things up, you actually will help people who are fixing to have that conversation, right? You know, maybe give supporters, they reach out to you beforehand and say, hey, I'm about to have my family here. What should I talk to them about?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go through their specific goals and requests, and I'll give them pointers.
Sure.
We've also facilitated meetings where the family has come in, and we just lay it all out there.
All good there. We'll lay it out there for Thanksgiving. Lay out the great spread and the family, the fun, the football.
That's
fun
right.
Stuff
Happy
this Thursday.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, one and all, to you, Michelle Conte, to your staff, and all of our great listeners here at the Talkin' Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. We got more to come. We'll see you right back here in 7 days. Take care.